In chapter 1, the focus was very much on Joshua. Joshua and how God came to Joshua, encouraged Joshua to be strong and courageous. But in chapter 2, there's a shift. It's no longer more about Joshua, it's about this woman that we are going to talk about. This woman, she's a woman first, and we're given some background. There are so many details. You can't miss them. About this woman, the identity, where she comes from, who she is, her profession and everything is given actually in chapter 2. The writer does not want us to miss right from the beginning. He tells us that this woman I'm talking about is a prostitute. Look at verse 2. In verse 1, go and view the land, especially Jericho. Now in the Hebrew, the word especially Jericho can mean particularly Jericho, can mean go and spy the land, especially Jericho, or go and spy the land, particularly Jericho, or go and spy the land, even Jericho. But I think the one that conveys very well the meaning, it is go and spy the land, that is Jericho. I don't think Joshua at this point would have sent the spies to go and spend their time and energy in the whole land, and then particularly Jericho. I think Joshua was very specific as a military. Go and spy the land, and what I mean the land is Jericho at this point, because of the strategic place of the land, of the city of Jericho, where it was. So they were supposed to take over Jericho first before they begin to make military campaigns to actually go and possess the rest of the land. Jericho was at a strategic place, so it was very important for Joshua to capture Jericho first, and no wonder he sent these people, these two spies, go. And the Greek word for these spies, they were not old people, they were young men. Two young men who were sent to actually go. You can see later on in the passage, the writer is very specific that these two gentlemen, they were just young men who were sent to go and spy and go and search out the city of Jericho. And the writer goes on to say, and they went and they came into the house of, doesn't give us the name then first tell us, he tells us the profession of this woman. A prostitute whose name was Rahab. We know that she's Rahab, she's a prostitute, and she's a woman in verse 4. But a woman. So all of these highlights no credentials for this woman. She's just a woman. And in that culture, the ancient Near Eastern culture, women and children were in the group of the marginalized. They were not really considered very much as human beings. At some point, they were considered as properties. I don't know if you've already noticed in the Ten Commandments, when God is bringing his commandment and say, you shall not covet the properties of your neighbor, semicolon, and a list of the properties. The woman is part of there. His donkeys, his what, even his wife. So the wife was considered as a property of a man. The underprivileged, you can see that in the Gospel of Luke, our women were actually in the marginalized way. In the culture of the Greek, of the Hebrew people, you cannot even speak to a woman, even your mother, in public. Even when you meet each other in public, you bypass each other. Jesus was actually breaking rules. Whenever he would stand and speak to a woman, he was breaking those traditional rules because of how women were considered as the marginalized. Actually, Jesus is the only rabbi who was moving around with women. And that was unacceptable in the culture of the Jews because women were part of the marginalized group. And the story, surprising story we have in chapter 2, is the story of a woman who is in the marginalized group. Let me remind us, dear friend, as we go through this text, you must understand that now Joshua is now setting to go and possess the land. The possession of the land is not just the fulfillment of God's promise that has given to Abraham, that I'm going to give you this land as a gift, but it is also a promise of God's judgment against the inhabitants of the land. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 13 up to 16, when God was formalizing a covenant with Abraham. The promise that God gave Abraham in chapter 12 of the book of Genesis becomes a covenant in chapter 15. And this is what God says to Abraham many years before this time of Joshua. This is what God says: "Know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and they will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation that they will serve." God is actually talking here about Egypt. "And afterward, they shall come out with great possessions." God was actually predicting here the exodus of the people of Israel out of Egypt. But listen to verse 16. 15. "As for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried in good old age. And they shall come back." Now he's talking about the people of Israel. "They shall come back here in the fourth generation." Why? "For the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet complete." Can you see that? So which means when the people of Israel are now setting their journey to go and possess the Canaan land, it is not only in the fulfillment of the promise God has given to Abraham to give them the land, but it's also the promise to judge the sins of the Amorite. The sins of the Amorite have now gone to the point where they cannot be forgiven. It is always possible to sin beyond the time when God would say, "Now you need to go under judgment." Sin will never be left unjudged or uncondemned. Many generations later, now Joshua is going to fulfill that. So the possession of the land, dear friend, take in mind, it is judgment against the sins of the Amorites. It's judgment against the inhabitants of the land, including this woman we are talking about here. She is part of the people that are supposed to be condemned. She is part of the people that are supposed to be judged and destroyed completely. Remember, this land, as I said last week, it is not just a gift, it is also an inheritance that God gave them. And because God gave the people of Israel an inheritance like the land, he did not want them to share this land with other nations. It was given as a command to Joshua: as you possess the land, you have to destroy completely women, men, even the children, even their donkeys. They don't have to be part of this. Now, keep that at the back of your mind. Joshua is going as an instrument in God's hands to judge the sins of the Amorites. But the writer of the book of Joshua says, wait a minute. In the context of judgment, there's one exception. The first story you encounter in the book of Joshua, in the context of judgment, is the story of an exception. An exception to the rule of judgment. Not everyone is going to be judged. There's one particular exception, and that exception is not of a man. That exception is not of a man you respect or a man from the tribe of Judah like Achan. It's from the person you wouldn't think of. It's an exception of a prostitute. It's an exception of a Canaanite. It's an exception of a person you'd actually condemn completely. This person is going to be visited by amazing grace. That's the story we get here. And then the story slows down a little bit before they go further and possess the land. We see a story of an amazing grace. Dear friend, we shall stand on this promise of God. Now, I want to share with us this morning, quickly, three things in the story of Rahab. First of all, we want to look at Rahab's faith in action. Rahab's faith in action. Actually, his faith was a risky faith. And the second point I want us to look at is Rahab's profound confession of faith. Or in other words, Rahab's faith in words. Rahab's faith in action. First point. Rahab's faith in words, in statement. And lastly, we'll look at Rahab's redemptive hope. Let's go through this point quickly. Let's start by looking at the faith of Rahab in deed or in action. Back to chapter 2 once again and verse 1. Joshua is given full names here because about more than 100 times in the book of Joshua he is just called Joshua. Joshua. You know, by the time you get his full name, Joshua the son of Nun, it introduces a new section in chapter 2 verse 1. And Joshua the son of Nun sent two men secretly from Shittim and spies saying, go, view the land, especially Jericho, or that is Jericho. And they went and came into the house of a prostitute whose name was Rahab. How did they find themselves there? It is known tradition that Rahab was an innkeeper. He owns a bar, a tavern, and also a hotel, a guest house. And in that culture, the vast majority of women who were innkeepers were also prostitutes. So she had a house and she had a public place where people would come and drink, you know, have their good time, and also get news from here and there. But at the same time, it was a place where men could pick women and just go and use their rooms there like a guest house for prostitution. Actually, the word that is used in Hebrew here slightly suggests the idea of some sexual connotations here. Some scholars, they think that these spies, when they went into the idea of going and spend a night there, actually it was spending night in prostitution with the Rahab. That's what the Hebrew word suggests. But it's not really, when you read deeper, you'll see that the narrator does not actually, it's very clear that this is not what is going on here. These spies were not there for prostitution or to take advantage of Rahab. Although Rahab was a prostitute, but nothing of that nature was going on between Rahab and these spies that were sent. For them, it was a nice place. It was a suitable place to get into because it's a public place. People are there drinking here and there. They would sit and get some news. And probably starting from there, they will start exploring the land. And they spend a night there at this woman. That was risky. But listen, what happens here? They were already spot because Jews, morphologically, everybody, you know, when you have a particular morphology that distinguishes you from a certain people's group, you'll be able to be spot quickly. So they actually knew from their accents and how they were speaking, the people of Jericho, they knew these are strangers. These have come actually to search out our land. These have come because they've got a mission to destroy the land. And there was a huge hostility, enmity between the people of the land and the Israelites. And immediately they sent a message to the king. And the king comes. Listen to what the king says here. In verse 2, and it was told to the king of Jericho, behold, men of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land. This is the mission. They've come not in good faith. They've come to search out the land. Then the king of Jericho sent to Rahab saying, bring out the men who have come to you, who entered your house, for they have come to search out all the land, in case you do not know. But you'll see later on in the story that Rahab was aware of the mission of these people. She knew actually that these people have come for this particular reason. And so king has come here to question the loyalty of Rahab. Are you loyal to the city? Are you loyal to the land or you're loyal to these people? Bring those people out. What did she say? She lied. We'll come back to that. What did she say? Look at what she says. But the woman had in verse 3, then the king of Jericho said that, verse 4, it says, but the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. And she said, true, the men came to me. But I did not know where they were from. And verse 15, she goes on, when the gate was about to be closed and dark, the men went out and do not know where the men went. Is this true? No. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them. Now, our definition of truth, especially in our Western culture, what is true? What is truth? It's So truth is something which is in agreement with fact. That's how we define truth. So the statement of Rahab was not in agreement with the fact. Because the fact was that these two were hidden. That's the fact. And yet she said, no, no, they are not with me. They came for sure, but they've already gone. Pursue them quickly and you will find them. This is how we'll define. So we'll say that she actually deceived them. She deceived the king. She did not say the truth because of our definition of truth. The truth is actually saying something which is not in agreement with the fact. But this is not how the culture of the people define the truth. Truth is not just something which is in agreement with fact. According to them, truth is loyalty towards your neighbor or loyalty towards God. So at this point, she was in dilemma. Are you loyal to the people of the land and realistic and tell them, here are the spies? Or are you loyal to the God of Israel who was represented by the two spies? It's about loyalty. It's not about saying what is in agreement with fact. It's about showing where you have your allegiance and loyalty. And we have some examples like this in the Bible. For instance, when you get in Exodus chapter 5 and verse 3, when Pharaoh gave command to say, you should kill the babies as soon as they are born, the babies of the Israelites. Now, those midwives who were actually of the Jewish nation, they were not telling the truth as well because of loyalty. If we define truth as something in agreement with fact, this is what they say, they reported. This is what the Bible says in the book of Exodus chapter 1 and verse 9. So we see the report to Pharaoh that the Hebrew women delivered too quickly for them to carry out these orders. King, do not blame us because each time we go to the women, the Jewish women, we find they've already delivered. And that was not true. But that was communicating their loyalty. We are not loyal to you. We are loyal to God. That's how they define their truth. Another good one is Moses. Moses, when he's standing before Pharaoh, what he's telling Pharaoh, please, can you release them? I swear, we were just going only for 3 days to worship God. We'll come back. That's what he was telling. And when you see that, you can call that because of your definition of truth as something which is not in agreement with fact, that this is not true. But at this point, it's not the problem of what is actually in agreement. In fact, it's about loyalty, dear friend. So at this point, it is very clear that Rahab is not actually loyal to the king and the land. She has chosen to become loyal to the God of Israel, who was represented by those spies. And this action was a treason. It was treason in the eyes of the people of the land. It was a risky action that she took. But you know what? She took it by faith. It's because she had come to believe the God of the Israelites. It's because she knows exactly what is going to happen. It's just a matter of time. This land is going to be taken. She has now chosen to become part of the people of God. I am no longer loyal to my gods and the gods of this land. I am now loyal to the God of the people of Israel. And therefore, I am not going to release the truth that you are looking for. She had taken them. This is what the narrator quickly tells us in verse 6. But she had brought them up to the roof and hid them with the stalks of the flax that she had laid in order on the roof. So the men pursued after them on the way to the Jordan as far as the fort, and the gate was shut as soon as the pursuers had gone out. Later on, when we get to chapter 7, you'll see that here in the story, this woman has hidden these two spies. But in chapter 7, you'll see this man also will hide something, the loot of war. He will hide something somewhere for his own judgment. There's a contrast that we get in the story of Rahab, which is a fascinating story. And the first thing we see here, dear friend, is the faith of Rahab in action. Genuine faith produces fruits of faith. You cannot claim to have faith in God and your faith is dead, does not bring about the actions. The faith of Rahab was a genuine, real faith. How do we know? We see the faith of Rahab in action here. She has taken risk to protect those ones because of the loyalty she had from God. We must always express our loyalty to God in whatever circumstances because of the genuine faith that we have in Christ. You can't say you belong to God, you have trust in God, and you don't actually dispel that one in your deed. This is what we see in the book of James, chapter 2, verse 25, the one that Jemima read. And in the same way, was not also Rahab, the prostitute, justified by her works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31, by faith Rahab, the prostitute, is by faith, did not perish with those who were disobedient. Why? Because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. So according to the Bible, what Rahab did was commended. And she did it because of loyalty to God. Dear friend, we cannot claim to be believers and having faith in God where our actions are contradicting our belief. The way you behave wherever you go should be a sign to actually show everyone around that you belong to the people of God. Whether in public or in private, you must exhibit a character that actually shows that you are one of the people of God. So an exception we see in the judgment of God is who belongs to the people of God, is people of genuine faith, just like Rahab. Rahab, she's a woman of genuine faith, a faith that is actually shown in our welcoming and loyalty to God. She's taking risks because of her faith. It was not just something she did out of the blue. It's because of active trust in God. If we trust God, wherever we go, our behavior should actually show everyone that we belong to the people of God. This is Rahab's faith in action. Your faith must be shown in your deeds. How do you behave with your friend? How do you behave in conflict? Sometimes the Lord will allow conflict to come. Sometimes the Lord will actually bring friends closer to you and see how you'll behave. And sometimes the Lord may just disperse them far away from you. And if you are a man or a woman of faith in God, you must actually show that faith that you trust in God. Yesterday, I was telling my children and my wife, I said, one day, it is true, maybe it is me, whether you like it or not, one day you must receive probably a phone call that your dad is gone. The one you'd call a breadwinner is gone. God may do that. And then I was telling my children, at that particular point, you must learn that you don't have to put trust in your father. Life is not always a straight line. Life has got twists and turns. Life has got ups and downs. In all those moments, you must prove that you are a man or a woman of faith. That your faith is not in a human being. Your faith in the God who has your life with you. The Lord may allow situations in tears or joy in your life. But because of true faith that is in you, you have to exhibit that you trust. Your loyalty is not in money. Your trust is not in connections that you have with friends and people abroad or within. Your trust is in the Lord who is actually looking after our lives. You don't put it in money or riches that may finish today or tomorrow. We trust the Lord. We can risk our lives just like Rahab. Risk our lives because we trust in the God of Israel. The God who has promised to always be with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Where is your faith, friend? Is that faith like the one of Rahab? We see the faith of Rahab in action. Your faith must be in action. Faith is like acid, dear friend. When you take acid, when you take a bottle of acid, you don't have to go around and tell people to say, today I have taken acid. We just wait, we will see. Because acid will show itself. You don't have to bring an advert, isn't it? It will come. It's just like pregnancy. Once pregnancy is there, it will come. It will show. When genuine faith is there, it will actually show. There are people who say in the book of Joshua, in the book of James, there are people who say by mouth that they have faith. It's just a simple saying. They don't have it. Because once you have faith, no matter what, it will show in how you behave, in how you show your kindness to other people, how you run away from sin, how you respond to people who are in conflict with you. That's how we show our faith, dear friend. That's the first point. The second thing, let's look now, it is what is rare, profound statement of faith. Faith of rare in words. Because you may sit down and say, come on, why? What is it that made Rahab to take that risky step? You know what made her to do so? It's because of what she had come to believe. And this is very important. Your conviction about God, your conviction about the word of God is very important. We don't want to have just people who are just filling the pews. You may understand what is being preached here. Understanding and believing are two different things altogether. You may have a very good understanding of the Bible, a good understanding of some statement in Scripture, but do you actually believe them? Do you believe them? Do you believe when God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you? Do you believe that? Or do you just understand it? Because if that is your conviction, you really understand and you trust the word that God has promised, it will actually show in how you live your life. What is it that has made Rahab to come to this? It's a conviction. You see the faith of Rahab in words. Look at what she believed. Look at verse 8 now. Now before the men lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to them, listen to this, I know. Mark those words. I know that the Lord has given you the land. Come on, Rahab. How do you know? How do you know? I know. She was not even doubting. And these words, for those of you who were with me last Sunday, you will see that she has used the perfect tense, just like God. Remember how God was promising the land in the perfect tense. I have already given you the land. That land was already given to them. Not only God, even Joshua. When Joshua is sending now and encouraging the Israelites to go, he uses also the perfect tense. Guys, let's stand. Let's go and possess the land that the Lord has already given us. Wow! A prostitute is now confessing the same. He said, I also know that God has already given you the land. She's a believer. She knows and she has no doubt at all the land has already been given. It is because of that belief. It is because of that conviction. She was convicted. She was very strong in the belief that God has already given. It's because of that that has made her to risk her life. It's because of the belief. It's because of her faith in words. I believe and I know that God has already given you the land. This is not the only thing she believes about God. See in your Bible, there's something else she believes about God. Look at verse 10. For we have heard, first she explains how she came to know about God. We'll come back to that in a minute. But look at verse 11. And as soon as we heard it, our heart melted. There was no spirit left in man because of you. And the Lord your God, listen to this, the Lord your God, he is God in heavens above and on the earth beneath. Wow. You wouldn't expect this statement coming from a Canaanite, a prostitute. And for those of you who are actually following the scriptures, especially from the book of Deuteronomy, you will see and agree with me Now, these words are straight coming from the book of Deuteronomy and the book of Exodus. It appears like she is aware of the scriptures. Let's give our friends some time to sit down. I know the Lord your God is the only true God. Rahab has come to this understanding of God who is the only true God. This is a profound confession. We see the faith of Rahab in words. This is a conviction she has. Living in a context of so many gods, she has abandoned the God of the Canaanites. I don't believe they are gods. The Lord your God is the only God. He's a God in heaven and a God on earth. It explains the sovereignty of God. She has come to believe that. And then you tend to ask yourself, where did she get this knowledge? How? We don't really know. But one way we know from the scripture, she tells us how she came to know. Look at verse 9, especially verse 10. For we have heard how the Lord dried up. We have heard. Our faith came from hearing the story of God. Friends, what do you hear? What do you watch all the time? I don't discourage you from watching the Nigerian movies. I don't discourage you, but the Nigerian movies have created in us fear. We believe and trust too much in the power of witchcraft. Thank God, because of what we watch. Because of the Nigerian movies, we see witchcraft everywhere, even where there's no witchcraft. We are afraid of anything, of anyhow. Because that's what we watch, and that's what we hear. When you visit your church, whatever your church is, what is it that you hear? You hear 99% of the sermon about the devil and wizard and witchcraft. And just one percentage of the power of God. It's all about witchcraft, witchcraft, witchcraft. That's why you have no faith in God. Because witchcraft is this much in your belief. And God is this much. For Rahab, the God of the Bible, is bigger than anything else. I come to know that the Lord your God is the only true God. Not only here. In heaven and on earth, I've come to believe this. This is true faith in words. This is a statement of faith. It's not just something she understands, but it's something she believes. Is that what you believe? Sometimes we sing songs about God we don't believe. Sometimes we make confessions about God we don't believe. Friends, I believe that God is with me. Because he said in his words, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Even in tears, I know God is with me. How do I know? Because that's where my conviction is. He is God, he will never leave me. Whatever he allows in his wisdom, he's with me. He knows why he has allowed it. God of heaven is a sovereign God. He's with us. Because he's sovereign God, he can send or he can actually withhold anything that may come in our lives. Trust God. Never, never trust the power of the wicked. Trust the power of God who is with us. In your mouth, you must confess God all the time. Confess the great God we believe in. The God is with us, who is journeying together with us wherever we go. When in times of the night, sleep. Just like Peter in prison. Why? Because you have come to believe the great God, who is actually the only true God, not only in heaven, but even on earth. He's the one with us, dear friend. The God of so many churches is a small God. A small God who competes with the devil all the time. But the God of Rahab is a God who is above. The God who has everyone in his hand, he controls. He's actually the God in action everywhere in lives of people. Now I come to know why she came to this particular conviction. It's because she heard. Friends, faith comes from hearing. That's why we trust the Bible in our church. Because that's where we generate faith. Faith does not come from motivational speaking. That's why whenever you are given an opportunity to preach the word of God, don't change into a motivational speaker. Preach the word of God. Preach the Bible. Tell the people the Bible. Let them understand the God of the people of God, because she heard of what God has done in history. If you don't believe God, friend, let's sit down and go back in history and see the mighty works of God in history. Because that's what she heard. She heard about how God dried up the Red Sea. That was 40 years before she came to believe. It was still fresh in the minds of Rahab. Conviction brings and changes character. Do you want to change people in Zambia? Do you want to change people wherever we go? We don't have to come with many programs to change them. We change them with the truth of the word of God. When people they come to the point of understanding and being convicted, and then that will actually translate in their behavior. You know why people behave the way they behave in a negative way? It's because of what they've come to believe. For Rahab, she has come to believe, number one, that the land has already been given, and the God they believe is a God who is above. This is what she has come to believe. Our convictions matters, dear friend. Our beliefs matters. What you believe about God is very, very important. Be an encourager wherever you go because of what you believe. You believe the God who is a true God, who has stepped in history. That's the statement we see and how she came to learn it. Lastly, dear friend, it is Rahab's redemptive hope. She doesn't stop there. Rahab now is seeking for salvation because she has come to believe this God of the Israelites. Look at verse 12. Now, then, she says, now, because I know this, now, please swear to me by the Lord, by Yahweh, the God of heaven, not any other God. Swear to me by Yahweh that the way I've dealt with you kindly, with you. You also, you will deal kindly with my father's house and give me sure sign that you will save alive my father, my mother, my brothers and sisters, and all that belong to me. And you will deliver our lives from death. Because I know our lives in your hands now. She's asking for two things. Swear and give me a sure sign. Swear. And you don't swear by anyone else, because I'm no longer having any loyalty to my gods, because I don't believe they exist. Swear by the Lord, the God himself. And give me a sure sign, not any sign, but a sure sign that you will come and deliver not only me. She was very inclusive. Not only me, but my father, my mother, my brothers and sisters, and all what belongs to me. What did they say? They did this exactly what they gave him a sure sign. And look at verse 14. And the men said to her, our life for yours, even to death. They are swearing. Our life for yours, even in death. If you do not tell this business of ours, then when the Lord gives, it's just a matter of time. It's not if the Lord, no, when the Lord gives us the land, because we surely know you give us the land, we will deal kindly and faithfully with you. We're living in a culture where our words don't matter. You know, you swear, you make promises, you even swear in the name of God, you don't keep them, isn't it? You even say, no, in the name of God, I will do that. So we live in a culture where people don't trust their words. Even when we make promises, you will come, you will do, you will give someone. We don't keep them. But this culture, they made a lot of consideration on oath. Can we swear and give me sure sign? And that's what they did. They swear. They did and they told him, we will definitely do that. But what is the sign they gave him? They gave Rahab and the family. Look at verse 15. Then she left them down by a rope of the window. through the window, for a house was built into the city. And she said, so that she lived in the wall. And she said to them, go into the hills. But look at the way they say now in verse 17. The men said to her, we will be guiltless with respect to this oath of yours that you have made us swear. There was a scarlet rope that they gave to Rahab. Get this scarlet rope and put it on the window as a sure sign. The red one. When we come back, we will be able to see this. This is a sure sign. Don't remove it. And everyone who wants to be safe, they should be in your house. Don't go out. This is a sure sign. We are coming back. This is hope of redemption that is given to a prostitute. This is hope of amazing grace that is given to a Canaanite. This is hope of sure redemption that is given to a woman who was not supposed to be part of the people of God. But because of her faith, redemption has visited her by God's grace. Friend, do you want to know who are part of the people of God? It doesn't matter the color of your skin. It doesn't matter the tribe where you come from. It doesn't matter your background. It is God's grace through faith. You can be one of the people of God. You can, if you are not. You just have to trust in the God of Israel. The God who has already stepped into history through the work and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your faith in him, and then you will be included. Heaven will have wonders. Three wonders in heaven. One is to find people you never expect, like Rahab. We'll find people. The people that you marginalize, the people that you call prostitute, these are not believers. You'll be surprised. They are the ones in heaven. Be one and trust in God, who is God of amazing grace. You know where we stand? We don't trust our own, our credentials, because Rahab did not have any credential at all to stand before God, but she's saved. She's part of the people of God. This redemption is sure redemption. They gave her a sure sign of salvation. Do we have a sure sign? Yes, the cross of Jesus. Do you want to know how God has really loved us? It's not because he gives us food and life. All these are acts of kindness from God for sure. But the place where you see the love of God displayed is at the cross. A sure sign that we are saved. Dear friend, we have no doubt that we are part of the people of God. Why? Not because of our identity, but because of the way Jesus has done. You must trust in this God, isn't it? This morning, I can see many of you like Rahab, because of your background, because of how people call you name and so forth and so on. But the Lord is welcoming you. Only if you can trust in the work of the cross, you'll be part of the people of God. We shall move together. Heaven will be a place of joy where we'll find those who did not deserve to be there. And then we'll rejoice together. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your amazing grace. The grace that has visited a prostitute, a woman, a Canaanite, the one who did not deserve your favor. We are here, all broken, fallen, and sinful people. And we sing praises to your name today because you visited us. Our background is not clean. It's not clean. All of us, we are dead. We do not deserve it. Even when we tend to think we do. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, praising you because of how your grace has visited fallen, broken people like us. We are now part of your people, precious people of God, and you take care of us because we belong to you. Help us, Lord, to have conviction in your word. When we believe your word, even our behavior will change according to the gospel that we believe. Give us, O dear God, true and genuine faith that changes our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.